Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Alpek's fourth quarter 2014 earnings results conference call. With us this afternoon from Alpek, we have Jose Valdez, CEO, Eduardo Escalante, CFO, and Hernan Lozano, Head of Investor Relations, who will discuss the company's performance and answer any questions that you might have. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded and will be available on the company's website at www.alpek.com. I will now hand the call over to Mr. Lozano. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and welcome to our fourth quarter 2014 earnings conference call. We very much appreciate everyone's participation today. As always, this call will be divided into two parts. First, Mr. Valdez, our CEO, will provide some insights on market conditions, followed by a brief overview of industry dynamics, our operations, and major investment projects. Then, Mr. Escalante, our CFO, will discuss fourth quarter results and will provide the outlook for 2015. After that, we will open up for a Q&A session. Before we get started, let me remind you that information discussed on today's call may include forward-looking statements regarding the company's future financial performance and prospects, which are subject to risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially, and the company cautions not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements. Alpek undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Jose Valdez.
Thank you, Hernan. Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining us. Let me begin today's call by discussing the macro environment. As noted in our press release, the fourth quarter was particularly challenging as a result of the sharpest decline in oil prices we have observed since 2008. After averaging $108 per barrel between January and July 2014, reference Brent crude oil prices plummeted 48% to $56 at the close of the year. In this context, paraxylene prices, our main feedstock, fell 29% quarter-on-quarter and 34% during the year to $1,014 per ton. Although we maintain a cost-plus pricing structure, and perhaps because of that, a reduction of this magnitude resulted in a U.S. $68 million impact to our fourth quarter polyester EBITDA. By contrast, plastic and chemical feedstock prices, particularly propylene, were slower to follow the decline in oil prices and were virtually isolated from this effect. Aside from the extraordinary oil feedstock and feedstock price movement experienced during the year, developments in both our business segments were fairly in line with expectations. The Asian polyester market struggled with low margins throughout 2014, yet it was encouraging to see that even under such a volatile pricing environment, reference margins in Asia followed an upward trend during the second half of the year, which was consistent with industry news in July that pointed towards greater discipline by some of the larger Chinese PTA producers. For the plastic and chemical segment, this year's good polypropylene and EPS results were overshadowed by favorable industry dynamics that created record high margins in 2013. Moreover, our caprolactam business faced historically low reference margins, increased benzene price volatility, and a month-long shutdown associated with a technology upgrade project. However, the plant revamp will provide us greater flexibility to offset sustained pressure on caprolactam margins and will accelerate this business recovery process. Moving on to the investment front, we had a record year as we engaged in a combination of vertical integration, operating efficiency, and geographic expansion projects aimed at further strengthening our competitiveness. CapEx totaled $320 million, up 79% year over year. The most significant milestone within our CAPEX program was the completion of Olcosolacaque cogeneration facility, which marks the culmination of Alpek's first major integration project following its IPO. With a total investment of $137 million and capacity of 95 megawatts, the plant will fulfill the steam and power needs of our PTA, PTP, site in Cozulacaque, Veracruz, and will supply excess power to users in other parts of Mexico. This facility delivered positive EBITDA in its first month and is expected to generate savings of approximately $30 million in 2015. In addition to the expected economic benefit, this project provided us with valuable know-how as we move ahead with the construction of our second cogeneration plant, which I will discuss in a moment. Along with the cogeneration startup, we continue investing in the Corpus Christi PTA-PET facility and successfully upgraded our caprolactam plant. We also made encouraging progress with Pemex regarding ethane availability, site selection, and financing alternatives for our potential MEG integration project. Our 2014 CAPEX figure also included a portion, half of the $65 million multi-year tolling agreement signed with Huntsman, which establishes contractual rights to 156,000 tons of MEG per year from its production facility in Port Neches, Texas. This agreement complements our other vertical integration initiatives by allowing us to secure a portion of our supply needs at ethylene-based economics as soon as fourth quarter 2015. Complementing the organic projects I just mentioned were the two acquisitions we completed in 2014 to expand our footprint in the Americas and complement our EPS and recycled PET capabilities. Now, let me give you an update on our JV in Russia. As you may recall, Alpek and its JV partner, United Petrochemical Company, agreed to make a small investment to evaluate the potential construction of an integrated PTA-PET site in Russia. Following an exhaustive analysis, we believe it was in our shareholders' best interest not to pursue this project and exercise our exit option as per the agreement. For 2015, we have planned for sustained CAPEX growth as we remain fully committed to continue investing in vertical integration and operating efficiency projects that leverage the North American natural gas advantage, as well as our integrated technology. One of the new projects expected to kick off this year is the construction of our second cogeneration facility in Altamira. The new plant will be three times as large as Cozulacaque, with a 300 megawatt capacity, representing a $400 million total investment and generating $80 million in estimated annual savings. The start-up is expected in the second half of 2017. Moreover, we are preparing to make the first capital investment this year on the potential MEG integration project with Pemex if all continues as planned. Investment in other projects that are currently underway, such as the Corpus Christi Integrated PTA-PET plant and the MEG tolling agreement with Huntsman, will continue in accordance with agreed-upon milestones. In conclusion, 2014 turned out to be a more challenging year than expected, and the low oil price environment that we anticipate for 2015 poses a new headwind for the recovery of our business. Even so, we maintain a strong balance sheet supported by healthy cash flow generation, which enables us to continue with our high return investment. I have confidence in our team and the capital allocation decisions we are making to provide a solid platform for future growth. At this point, I would like to turn the call over to Eduardo.
Thank you, Pepe, and good afternoon, everyone. I would like to begin by providing a review of this quarter's financial results, and then we'll move on to guidance for 2015. As in recent calls, most of my comments will focus on variations compared with the previous quarter. We believe that quarter-on-quarter insights are more relevant than annual comparisons to illustrate recent market trends, given the current industry dynamics. Please keep this in mind as we review our company's results. As Pepe discussed, the sharp, unexpected decline in oil prices at the end of the year had a significant impact on our fourth quarter EBITDA, which was down 46%. Paraxylene prices followed the decline in oil prices, affecting the performance of our polyester business, which posted a 67% decline in EBITDA compared to the third quarter. Declining paraxylene prices affect our polyester business twofold. First, we recognize an inventory devaluation charge as we update the value of our inventory at the end of every quarter using current price references. Second, our margins are pressured by the temporary mismatch between average feedstocks costs and the end product sale prices, which we refer to as inventory cost carryover. Typically, the impact from both of these factors is not relevant and can even be favorable when prices go up. But the extraordinary circumstances of the fourth quarter resulted in a $68 million estimated impact. This expense was comprised of a $52 million non-cash inventory devaluation charge, together with an estimated $16 million loss, resulting primarily from inventory cost carryover. Polyester volume, however, was resilient to the decline in prices, remaining unchanged from third quarter levels and up 9% year on year. Underlying average polyester prices were down 9% quarter on quarter, excluding the effect of a one-time year-end adjustment. In contrast, our plastics and chemicals segment had a solid quarter with 3% sequential EBITDA growth supported by a strong polypropylene margins. Feedstocks in this segment were slower to follow the decline in oil prices. Volume and revenues were down 3% and 2% respectively when compared to the third quarter. Fourth quarter consolidated EBITDA was 46% lower, both sequentially and annually. However, excluding the $68 million oil-related impact on our polyester segment, consolidated EBITDA would have reached $139 million, in line with our full-year guidance. Moving down the P&L, we reported a majority net loss of $29 million during the fourth quarter, compared to a majority net gain of $30 million in the previous quarter. We had an $89 million impact in consolidated net income from three one-time non-cash items. First, the $52 million inventory charge. Second, a $28 million foreign exchange loss due to the recent devaluation of the Mexican peso. And third, a $9 million asset impairment charge associated with our JV in Russia. Majority net income for the full year, however, increased 202% to $65 million. One-time non-cash items affecting 2014 consolidated net income were $132 million in total. The strength of our financial position is evident as even with the 79% increase in 2014 CAPEX, net debt was down 7% year over year, reflecting very strong cash flow generation. One benefit associated with low oil and feedstock prices is the immediate reduction in net working capital, which offsets lower EBITDA from a cash flow perspective. Our capital investments in the fourth quarter were significant and accounted for almost half of our total annual CAPEX program. We invested $152 million in the quarter for a total of $320 million in 2014. This represents a record investment year for Alpek, excluding our 2011 acquisitions. More importantly, 83% of these funds were used for strategic projects, which include the Cosoleacaque Cogeneration Plant, the Greenfield PTA-PET site in Corpus Christi, and the NEG tolling agreement signed with Huntsman. Now, let me share some insights about our view as we head into 2015. The first thing to keep in mind as you think about our guidance is that it is based on an average Brent crude oil price of $56 per barrel. We anticipate lower oil and feedstock prices through year end. Our guidance does not include any impact from inventory devaluation. Nevertheless, there are other important implications associated with operating in a $56 per barrel environment compared to last year's $99 average. This 43% year-over-year decrease is expected to have a significant impact on margins, driven mainly by lower end product prices, as our formulas include components other than feedstocks that correlate to oil prices. Lower import parity and logistic costs and tariffs come down on an absolute basis, and lower value of percentage discounts are obtained on feedstocks purchased. This situation is particularly unfavorable for our PTA, polypropylene, and EPS businesses. While we expect volumes to remain flat compared with 2014, revenues are anticipated to decline approximately 24%, reflecting the low pricing environment. 2015 EBITDA is estimated at $500 million. As a $75 million consolidated profit from the sale of our polyurethane business, savings from the new Cosoleacaque cogeneration plant and other operating efficiencies are expected to offset this year's lower margins. Total CapEx for 2015 is expected to reach $400 million, 25% above 2014 levels. This includes investments in major projects such as Corpus Christi PET-PTA plant, the Altamira cogeneration facility, and the NEG tolling agreement with Huntsman, among others. We are also planning to resume dividend payments this year. As a reminder, the 2014 dividend was prepaid at the end of 2013. The amount for this year's dividend has yet to be proposed and approved by our shareholders at the next General Assembly. From a cash flow perspective, we anticipate using cash from operations and cash on hand to fund this year's investment requirements. Hence, net debt to EBITDA should increase, but is expected to remain below 2x. This concludes my remarks, and I would now like to open the call for questions. Operator, please instruct the participants on how to place their questions.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question, and we'll pause for just a moment to assemble the queue. And we'll take our first question from Nicolaj Lippmann with Morgan Stanley.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for the call and for taking my question, and congratulations on the quarter. Two questions, if I may. First, on the volume, very strong volume in polyester. That was great. Very good to see the change. My question is whether you can try and break it into how much of that came from potential operational option problems or at BP, how much of it was destocking, and how much of it was sort of something that we will see a little bit into the first quarter, if you will, of 15. And the second quarter, the second question is on the MEG project, and Deb, it's probably a question for you. With Pemex cutting capex and with the ethylene project from Braskem coming on, how do you feel about the risk or the prospects of ethane availability in Mexico? Those are my two questions. Thanks.
Let me start by saying certainly volume in polyester was strong this last quarter. To a certain extent, it had a little bit to do with the VP force majeure. But at the end of the year, the VP force majeure was, the allocation was back at 90%. So I guess it was a small impact in that. I think in general, the market behaved more favorably this year than last. And we continue to see a strong performance in our volumes for 2015. We start to see some growth back in polyester. I think year over year the growth was around 2%, and we expect something like that to happen in 15. Indeed, there is some of the brand owners are expecting that as a result in the reduction of oil prices and gasoline prices, the sales of PET soft drinks in the convenience stores next to the gas stations might increase significantly. This might be a little bit psychological, if you wish, but they say, customers will fill up the tank. It costs much less than before, so they have some extra cash. So sometimes when this happens, they go in the convenience store and they buy more things among products. The PET on grams of PET per ounce of soft drink. The soft drinks that are sold in these stores are the ones that consume the highest level of PET. So we hope some of this happen and. We're seeing a relatively good year for PET in 15. It's clear that soft drinks, CSD, the soft drinks are carbonated soft drinks are going down volume, but this has been more than replaced by water. Water consumption last year grew 6-7%, and it looks like 2015 is also starting in that good trend. So I would say that is the answer with regards to volume. With respect to your question for MEG, there is now this new issue of Pemex trying to reduce capex. But this project from the beginning has been considered as project financing. So we believe that the requirements of cash from Pemex are not going to be as high as they would otherwise. On the other hand, with regards to your question of ethane, I would say during the last 2 years, we've been negotiating with Pemex the ethane availability. We finally concluded or reached an agreement with them about ethane availability at the end of last year. And we pretty much have all the ethane we need to operate the plant at 100%. We have agreed with them they will supply to us 30,000 barrels per day of ethane. 30,000 barrels per day of ethane. And that will allow us to operate the plant at capacity. Remember, Nikolai, that this project, the scope of the project was enhanced because now the idea is that we will also invest in the fractionation part. So we're going to actually end up buying wet gas for Pemex, and we're going to invest in fractionation facility, in the bottleneck in the fractionation facilities. And that means that we are going to, this 30,000 barrels per day, we are going to recover additionally from from gas, and those are not being recovered today. So this will be an incremental production that will be possible because of our investment in that, the bottlenecking of those on those plants. So that's why we can feel very comfortable that we will have that product available. And I would say, we have also decided the site for the project. We have agreed in most of the items. I think the most important pending issue here is going to be to go ahead and do some engineering to be able to have a more precise number for the investment. Okay, once we have all the engineering, I think we can have a much better number for this project. That's a major item pending. And of course, concluding all the financial, the negotiation with the financial, advisors and banks. But we've made a lot of progress this year on that front.
Thanks, Pepe. Just one quick follow-up question, if I may. What is the current contractual status of this? When do you think you could take this to the board of directors of ALPEC?
Well, we think within the first half of the year we will take this project to the board of directors of ALPEC. But mind you, the first approval is going to be to approve the engineering. It will be on perhaps until the end of this year when we have all the engineering and the more precise determination of investment where we will present to the board the full project.
Got it. Thanks.
Welcome.
And we'll take our next question from Vanessa Quiroga with Credit Suisse.
Thank you for the call. Good afternoon. My question is regarding specifically about the results that we saw in 4Q in polyester. Revenues broadly stayed in line, stable quarter on quarter. It seems that they did not reflect the reduction in feedstock prices. So I wanted to understand that better, if possible. And then the other question is, I think that the guidance that you are providing for the contribution of the cogeneration plant of Costa Liacaque is lower than the original number that was provided. So if you could explain how the pricing works or remind us about that. Thanks.
Let me answer the second question first because it's faster. The situation with the savings in cogeneration has to do with the fact that in Mexico the power rates are based on a portfolio of different fuels for CFE, one of which is fuel oil. Fuel oil is of course is priced based on crude oil, and that represents approximately 18% of the mix of power generation from the public utility. So what we have is a situation where fuel oil last year, before the crude oil price collapsed, was selling for around $14 per million BTUs, and all of a sudden the prices of fuel oil that we're expecting for this year are a little bit below $7 per million BTU. So when you account for that reduction in the price of the fuel oil, that reduces again the average prices of CFE, and that is the reason why the savings are below our original expectation. Okay, that's number one. And with regard to number two, the only thing that we have to say is, when you talk about revenues, I don't know if you're talking revenues per ton or revenues overall.
Overall,
remember we significantly increased the not versus the quarter, but versus last year, we significantly increased the volume. And the other reason is that the decrease in prices was much more noticeable at the end of the quarter. The biggest decrease was in December, and that's why perhaps you don't see as much of an adjustment.
Okay. I think that could explain it. And just one more question regarding the guidance. Can you provide some color on what's your expectation by chain? Should we expect polyester to be better year over year and plastics and chemicals to continue normalizing downwards, or what's the outlook for each of them? Thank you.
Well, I believe, as Eduardo explained to you, well, the guidance, if you do not take into consideration the extraordinary gain from the polyurethane, the sale of the polyurethane assets, we do have an impact in both of the groups. In polyester, we have an impact because of the reduction of crude oil impacts a little bit the others in the formula, and because of discount of raw materials come down as the price of crude oil comes down. And in the case of in the case of plastics and chemicals, the main impact is in propylene. We do have also part of our propylene that we buy, the refinery grade propylene that we buy at the price related to LPG or propane, and then propylene prices in the U.S. are more linked to crude oil. So as crude oil prices are going down, we assume propylene prices are going to come down, and the LPG prices are not coming down as fast. So the margin that we have in this particular refinery grade propylene is going to be lower. So we have impact in both of the on both of these chain, you know, and what I can tell you also is our assumption, our guidance is based on $56 of Brent crude oil prices, and for every dollar that the crude oil price goes up, our EBITDA should be increasing by a little bit more than $3 million. So we're going to be very sensitive to the crude oil price.
Can you repeat that last ratio that you said, Pepe?
Yeah, $1 in crude oil price impacts our EBITDA by a little more than $3 million per year.
$1 increase.
$1 increase or decrease, you know, depending. $1 increase in crude oil prices could increase our EBITDA a little more than $3 million. On a yearly basis.
Great. That's very useful. Thank you, okay. Pepe Eduardo Hernan.
You're welcome.
And we'll take our next question from Diego Mendez with Itaú BBA.
Yes, guys, good morning. Good afternoon. So my first question is, what are your expectations for caprolactam margins in 2015? Like, we have seen a significant drop in benzene prices. So how did the Chinese players are actually performing that? And the second one, it's on also the PTA and polyester margins in Asia. How should we expect them to behave in the first and in the second quarter of 2015? Thank you.
Okay. In terms of caprolactam, we have seen a very important improvement in caprolactam margins in Asia, and also remember last year we had two problems in the caprolactam business. One was that the margin of caprolactam to benzene in Asia was very low, around the $800 or so. Now this year we started the year with $950 of margin caprolactam to benzene. But even more important than that, I think, is the fact that last year we had a significant difference between the prices of benzene in Asia and benzene in North America. Benzene prices in North America were approximately 60 cents per gallon higher than benzene prices in Asia. And the normal spread or the normal difference is more like 20 cents per gallon. So last year, then not only did we have low margins of caprolactam in Asia, but on top of that, we had a very high price of benzene in the U.S. relative to Asia. We start the year better on both fronts, I would say. In January, our margin to caprolactam, of caprolactam to benzene, was in Asia $985, and we expect it to be around $950 for the remaining of the year. And on top of that, the price of benzene in North America is now very much in line with the price of benzene in Asia. So these two factors are going to help our results, we believe, in 2015. And on top of that, remember two more factors that are very important. One is the plant is operating at much lower cost and much better efficiencies after the investment we made last year. And finally, we have, as of last week, good news that we're going to have some anti-dumping duties on imports of ammonium sulfate from China and from the U.S. Okay? So that is also going to help the caprolactam results. So we have better margins in Asia, we have better prices of benzene relative to Asia, we have greater efficiencies better efficiencies in the plant, and we have this dumping against U.S. and Chinese ammonium sulfate. So you put all together, we believe this may be a significant turnaround in the results of our caprolactam unit.
Okay, and on the PTA and polyester?
Well, as we said before, PTA and PET ended last year on a high note. The margins for the last quarter, October, November, and December, were over $235, which is the cash cost of Asia. So they were very encouraging, and we were expecting some of that. And in fact, some of you have already done the math, and they realized, as Eduardo mentioned, that the fourth quarter, without the negative impact of the inventory revaluation, would have been the best quarter of the year for Alpek. And that is very unusual considering the seasonality for PET in fourth quarter. Okay, so and to a certain extent, these better margins in Asia help us get there. In January, now the margins are very, very volatile as a result, again, of all of these, all of these change in crude oil prices. We had in Asia, they set a very low price for paraxylene in February. Just to give you an idea, the contract price for paraxylene in February was $710, compared to the spot prices that are closer to $900. So that's why calculation of the margins right now is very difficult. If you look at that and consider this contract price, the margin looks very high. But if you consider the spot price of paraxylene, the margin looks very low. So right now it's a little bit difficult to answer your question. But we would hope that the margins would remain around the $235 for the remaining of the year. Also, as I said, this paraxylene contract settlement in February is making it very difficult to read. And remember also, we're right now in the middle of Chinese New Year. I think it ends tomorrow. So right now we don't have a lot of that's the visibility of the market.
Okay, thank you very much.
And we'll take our next question from Chelsea Consco with TIAA Crest.
Hi, thanks for the call. I just had a follow-up question regarding specifically the revenues in the polyester segment, because I saw it mentioned in the earnings release that revenues would have been down 10% year over year in the quarter if it wasn't for some sort of one-time year-end adjustment. So I was just wondering what that is exactly. And my second question is just if you can repeat the main drivers behind the margin contraction expected for 2015 again. I think you mentioned two or three main items related to the pricing of your contracts, which will be impacted by the lower lower oil prices.
Okay. Eduardo, why don't you answer?
Sure. Thank you, Chelsea, for your question. Yes, we did have, as I mentioned before, we did have a one-time year-end adjustment in our polyester revenues. Basically, it was $140 million that we included as other income revenues from previous quarters that we recognized in the fourth quarter. Basically, what we did is after we had the final audited figures at year-end, we included this. And this amount does not have any impact on volume or EBITDA. It is reflected just on revenues. And it's basically associated with a non-recurring sales of raw materials. Okay? So that was the one-time adjustment that we referred to. And regarding your other question about...
Perhaps it was for Chelsea to understand, since we were looking at this price collapse, we were trying to get rid of inventories as much as we can, as much as we could, and perhaps that's the reason for those revenues. We sold some of the material, raw materials before we had to take the devaluation.
And regarding the margin contraction for 2015, basically as we mentioned before, we have a negative impact on some of our margins, mainly on PTA, because in the case of the cost-based formula that we use to sell, there are some elements in the formula that are related to some oil prices, other than just the paraxylene and the feedstocks themselves. And also the other negative impact that we expect for 2015 regarding the margins is due to the import parity that we have in North America. We expect both the logistics costs to reach North America from other regions in the world, as well as the import tariffs and costs to reduce on an absolute level in 2015, given the new oil prices environment that we are going through. And finally, the third factor that affects our margins are some of the discounts that we have on the purchases of raw materials or feedstocks in our case, have discounts based on percentages. So when we consider lower absolute prices for those feedstocks, the discounted amounts are lower. I would say those are the three main reasons why we expect to have lower margins given the lower oil prices for 2015.
Okay, I just think the one part that I'm not quite understanding is the first factor, the other components in your pricing formula, other than the feedstock prices. You're saying that is going to cause your sales prices to be lower than the decline in your input prices, basically?
Yes, in the formulas that we use to sell some of our products include some components regarding the energy costs to produce some of those feedstocks. So, for example, in some of the formulas, we have fuel oil included as a reference price in those formulas. So when we have those prices decline due to the decrease in oil prices, some of our prices also get reduced.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And we'll take our next question from Andreas Cerdonia with BTG.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I just have a quick question about the profitability. How is it looking for the first quarter?
We have a very good January, if that's your question. We have a good January. The only concern, Andres, we don't want to misguide anyone. We want to see what happens with crude oil prices, because we could still have some inventory revaluation this quarter. We don't expect inventory revaluation at the end of the year, because we, in our forecast at least, we have crude oil prices going lower, reaching a low point in April, and then recovering. But, so what that means is that we might have still some negative revaluations in the first quarter, and then hopefully we will regain those in the during the remainder of the year. But operationally, we had a very strong quarter in January. I mean, a very strong month in January.
Okay, thank you, guys.
And we'll take our next question from Jose Vasquez with GBM.
Hi, Jose, Hernan, and Eduardo. I was wondering if you could elaborate more on the inventory side. Well, you already said that we could expect another write-off for the first quarter. Could you say, well, it will be of the same size, so the one in, we saw this on the 4Q of 2014? Thank you.
No, Jose. No, it's going to be a much smaller number than what we saw in the fourth quarter. And again, depending on what happens in March, I mean, look, I was telling you before, we had a February settlement of paraxylene in Asia at $710, February. The nominations for March in Asia are over $900. Okay? So that means that if that materializes, we could end up even the first quarter without a loss. But it's
okay.
It's very speculative at this point. But yes, because of the recent increase in oil prices on the one hand, and again, you know, the prices have gone up substantially, paraxylene. And we were like 800, around 800 the first in January. It went down to 710 in February. And now they're talking of going up to close to 900 in March. Again, if that is the case, I think our inventory devaluation figure could be minimal, or even, you know, it could even be a positive number. Who knows?
Okay, thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Nacho Rivero with LCA Capital.
Good afternoon. I have two quick questions, if I may. The first one is related to the Huntsman tolling agreement. You could comment whether you've already paid all of it and how long the benefit will be for Alpek. And then my second question is, or for how many years the benefit will be for Alpek. My second question is related to the guidance for the 2015 CapEx. You mentioned that most of the CapEx will be for these strategic projects. Could you break down the amounts into your three main projects? Is that some information that you're giving at this point? Thank you.
Okay, with regards to the Huntsman agreement, we've already invested half of the amount that we mentioned. We paid 50% already, and the remaining 50% when it starts off. And the agreement is for 15 years, 1-5.
Okay.
With respect to CapEx, I will ask Eduardo to help me with that question.
Sure. For 2015, the guidance is $400 million. Out of those, maintenance CapEx are going to be around $50 million, which is the regular amount that we invest every year. We don't expect to have any surprises regarding the maintenance capex. For the rest, the $350 million that we are going to invest in strategic capex, we do not provide a breakdown, but I can tell you the four most important projects that we expect to have for this year are the start of the construction of the Altamira cogeneration plant. We will continue investing also in the Corpus Christi facility. We also have to invest to pay some amounts for the EPS business that we acquired last year from BASF. That transaction is expected to close by the end of the first quarter. The rest of the Huntsman tolling agreement, which Pepe mentioned a few minutes ago, and we also expect to start some investments regarding the MEG project with Pemex, basically for the
engineering.
Engineering, as Pepe mentioned before, just to have a more solid number for the total investment. I would say those are projects represent basically almost all of the $350 million capex, strategic capex that we have for 2015.
Perfect. That's very useful. And just one quick follow-up question on the first question. Is the Huntsman agreement similar to your Corpus Christi agreement where you provide the raw materials and you get the processed materials at suppliers' margins?
It is the same. We are going to supply the ethylene, yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we'll take our next question from Pedro Medeiros with Citi.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking the question. This is actually a follow-up from the previous question. Just to have a better understanding of what the Huntsman contract is, my understanding, and if you can please confirm, this is a contract signed directly with ALPAC and not with the Corpus Christi facility. And number two, would you be able to give some rough guidance of how much of an EBITDA would you have collected if the contract was valid for 2014, so basically using the ethylene and MEG prices of 2014, how much would you have collected if this contract was effective by then? And lastly, how do you plan to consolidate that contract within your financials? Is it going to be in a separate line or inside your PTA and polyester results? Lastly, my second question is, was there any advance in the projects for both PX and polypropylene vertical integration that was under feasibility studies? Thanks.
Let me talk about Huntsman first. The contract was signed by DAC, which is our subsidiary in the U.S., between Huntsman and DAC. It was signed there. And the way we're going to show this in our financial figure, it's going to be like a reduction in cost of raw materials. So it's going to be a lower cost. And lastly, your question of how much EBITDA would this have represented in the, in 14. I don't have it specifically 14, but if we have done this over the last years, it would have been somewhere between $10 and $20 million. You could say an average of $15 million per year.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. With respect to the PX and PP, I mean, we want obviously to focus on MEG first. We are going to review the PX and the polypropylene, but and both of those projects we want to make sure that the outlook for natural gas and crude oil settles a little bit before making decisions. But we are working in both projects. DCPS with Pemex and polypropylene, we're talking to some other people. But right now we are looking at two different technologies, the propane dehydrogenation or the MTP, which is methanol to propylene. And again, the advantage of one versus the other could change depending again on the price of propane and the price of natural gas, and certainly the price of crude oil. So we are right now, doing a very careful analysis to decide which way to go.
Okay, and Pepe, just to make sure, on the PP side, is that a project dedicated in Mexico or outside of Mexico in the U.S.?
Well, again, if it's MTP, it would be in Altamira next to the plant. That would be the ideal situation because we have natural gas in Mexico. If it is a PDH, propane dehydrogenation, propane in Mexico, at least today, is we are importing. So there is plenty of availability in the U.S. So that project will probably have to be done in the U.S. and then we have to import the propylene. That's why we favor the MTP, the methanol to propylene. And we believe it's also a lower cash cost than the PDH. It's a less volatile project because I think the gas, natural gas prices are going to be much more stable than the NGLs. The only problem with the MTP is the higher capital investment than the PDH. Okay?
Okay. Very clear. Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Juan Lopez with BTC.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for the call. Can you comment what are you expecting to pay in dividend?
Okay.
We still don't have the final amount. We have to wait until the General Assembly takes place to be able to finalize the figure. But if you look at the results, I think you can expect to have a lower dividend than what we have had in the past few years.
Okay. And then looking at your assumption of oil price at $56, what do you think would be your working capital investment needs for 2015?
We should have a decrease in working capital. So we will reduce our investment in working capital. I estimate around $100 million or something like that.
Okay. And then looking at globally, are you aware of any shutdown in capacity or project delay from many of the competitors in the market in any of the chains you are operating with this oil price environment?
Yeah, well, we recently heard, we received information about shutdown of PTA plants in Taiwan, some PTA plants in Taiwan. And we expect more announcement of shutdowns of PTA plants in Asia will follow. In spite of the effort of these guys to improve the margins, there's still a lot of producers that are hurting.
Okay. Do you have any color on how relevant this capacity could be for the total market?
I don't have the number in my mind. I don't want to give you something. I mean, it's a significant shutdown, but in relative of the total market, perhaps it's 2% or something like that of total capacity, global capacity.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
This does conclude today's question and answer session. At this time, I will turn the conference over to Mr. Lozano for any additional or closing remarks.
Yes, I would just like to thank everyone for participating in today's call. Please feel free to contact us if you have any follow-up questions or comments. Have a nice day.
This does conclude the presentation. Thank you for your participation.